The Landing, Roseburg's newest senior living community, now open to the public, a distinctive place that believes people make all the difference. At The Landing, you'll see new, clean apartments and rooms to fit every need, and your rent will never be raised. Contact The Landing, a senior living community, 672-9696, 672-9696. From the Midas and Roseburg studio, KQEN weather, sunny, 78 today. Going to be partly cloudy, 54 tonight. Slight chance of rain tomorrow by afternoon, otherwise sunshine and 80. Definitely rain in tomorrow night. Gusty winds as well, low down to 57. Rain sticking around only through Friday night, then back to sunshine. And by next Monday, we're back up to near 90 degrees. And 68 now, KQEN News Time, 1235.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. A lot of things to talk about these days on Inside Douglas County, but we always like to keep our eye and ear on the economy and all things financial. And our go-to economist for a number of years, nationally noted economist Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, joins us from the apparently good weather community of Miami. Elliot, thanks for being on.
My pleasure, Kyle. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
So a lot of things going on, and the last week in the stock market has not been the best. Let's talk about that first of all.
Oh, yeah, there's been a lot going on. So people are nervous first about the coronavirus coming back, a second wave. Europe's having problems. Israel's having real problems. So Western countries, you know, democracies are having problems. So we're nervous. Then there's the whole the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and what that does to politics. And more importantly, in the short run, what it does to the likelihood of some stimulus package. And the consensus is now that Ginsburg's replacement hearings and stuff will take up all the oxygen, and there's no hope of a stimulus deal for some months. So the market was reacting to all that bad news.
Interesting. So do you think that's accurate? Do you think that the Supreme Court issue is going to toss the stimulus package to the sidelines?
I do indeed. To get the replacement for Ginsburg passed expeditiously will take all the floor time that the Senate's got right now. And the bill, if the bill were an easy slam dunk, maybe they'd do it, but it's contentious, it's difficult. And the Republicans know they have a slam dunk here with the replacement. So why work on the stimulus bill?
When Mitt Romney came out, I think it was earlier today, and said he would not oppose it, some people thought he might be the most likely person in the GOP to oppose putting through a Supreme Court candidate right now. That kind of makes the numbers appear to mean this is going to go forward.
Absolutely. The only two that have said no at some level were Murkowski in Alaska and Susan Collins in Maine. But Chuck Grassley, he's on board, as is the guy from Tennessee whose name I forgot, who's retiring. And the Democrats are hoping he would say no. But no, it looks like McConnell's got 51.
And it's interesting, too, to see if this goes forward like it appears it's going to, that in the midst of all this, is this going to have an impact on the presidential tilt of Americans?
The only evidence we have so far was that Democrats are engaged wildly. The amount of campaign contributions going to the Biden election campaign have gone bananas. And he now has, I don't know, $450 million, so way ahead of Trump's $150. So the Republicans are going to have to step up their campaign game to compete in the last couple of months, last 6 weeks or so of the election, in those swing states that really matter.
And at the same time, while Oregon has done vote by mail for years and has a plan in place that's just the normal, states that are trying to make voting by mail an option are faced with a real tough deadline and maybe some potential challenges about accuracy of doing so.
Oh, my gosh, this is something that markets are also nervous about. Markets at the end of the day want certainty. You want to know that it's going to get resolved. Markets will live with whatever it is. Democrat, Republican, just give us the rules of the road and we're good. But this uncertainty and this lingering uncertainty, the fear that perhaps Trump, from what I read a lot of, you hear about, that Trump could win it on the day, but as they count and in the close election states, those swing states, that they count the absentee ballots, which are more likely to be Democratic, that could tip the tide. And markets are just nervous about this, that they'll be fighting and lawsuits and whatever. This is not what markets want.
Well, and it seems that at least at this point, it could be close enough that we're not going to have a result for maybe a couple of weeks.
Wow, that would be a nightmare. It could happen. I mean, you hear I'm almost speechless. I'm not generally in that situation. It could take a couple of days, and how it will go? Who will? I don't know. This is a very stressful election. On top of the social unrest and the financial issues and the virus, there's a lot going on. Markets are stressed. People are stressed. Businessmen are stressed. Employees are stressed.
Well, let's talk about that second wave of COVID-19 that's being seen in some places. The question is just how big a wave it's going to be.
Right. And at this point, we don't know. But if you look at the data, about 35 states or 40 states have increasing rates of coronavirus infection rates. So it's not a good beginning to fall. Let's put it that way. And the fear is people spend more time in the fall indoors. They can't go to restaurants and sit outside. Therefore, there's more socializing inside, and that's what brings on the second wave. And if Europe's an indicator, and their weather's worse than ours, right? It's not a great sign. And we never got our numbers as low as they did. So could ours get higher? Could be. On the other hand, maybe we're more adept and we're more careful. The southern states stay okay, and it's good enough. I don't know, but we're nervous.
We have some school districts that are doing in-person K-3 in the very rural districts that are much more isolated. Most folks this week doing remote learning for everyone, though the plan varies by district. But Roseburg District, for example, hoping to get K-3 in person in just a couple weeks. But yet that depends on the county and the state meeting metrics. And we see our new numbers for today in Douglas County with several more cases and probably the most cases in a 7-day period we've seen in quite a while.
Right. That's the whole problem. Numbers are going up. And the school problem is really profound. If we don't get the kids to school, not only are the kids worse off, some kids aren't, obviously. Their parents can help them. They can get tutors. They have good internet and whatever. But in general, the kids are worse off. They're not going to learn as much. They're going to be behind the eight ball. And moreover, a parent, generally the mother, ends up staying home. If she can't work from home and she loses her job as a result, this compounds the stresses here. So we have income loss on the parental side, educational loss from the kids' side. Not a good story. We need to get these kids to school as fast and as safely as we can. You have to follow guidelines. I get that. But this is the most important thing. Forget bars, forget restaurants. The kids got to get to school.
I look across the office here out my window, which looks at our main big office area, and I can count several folks that we have at various levels at either company here working from home. You don't see them a lot. And for some jobs, that works just fine. It's not that big a deal. You come in periodically, things like that. Other jobs, though, and especially if you're in retail, you can't work at a store from home.
That's exactly right. So, and this is the problem our economy faces. We have done as much as we can. You know, a lot of like retail sales, total sales have done pretty well. We've gone online. But bars and restaurants, they're still 20% behind where they were before the virus began. Auto manufacturing is pretty much back up. But the sectors that haven't recovered, they haven't recovered. So, and our economy can't get back to full, to even keel, if you will, unless those sectors do. So that's why growth is going to be slower now, because the ones that have recovered fastest have recovered. But there's sectors of the economy that haven't, and that's what's holding us back. And to get those back on track will be much more difficult.
In the midst of all of this, we're seeing some big shifts as well that are impacting the housing boom.
Oh, my God. The housing market is remarkable in its strength and vitality and broadness, its depth and breadth. By every measure, housing is ripping the cover off the ball. It's home run after home run. Today, NAR came out with existing sales. They topped 6 million. It's the best number in 12 years or 14 or 11 or whatever it is. But But by every measure, new starts, permits, existing sales, new sales, pending sales, home prices, inventories, everything is at their best level, lowest, highest, whatever, in over a decade.
And Douglas County, Douglas County continues with a low inventory, not a lot of houses on the market. We were already kind of dealing with a shortage of that. There are a number of construction projects in areas that folks are building houses right now. But what I'm seeing locally is prices going up, houses going on the market that I'll pass by and think there's no way they're getting that price for that house, but they do.
Well, partly it's because interest rates are so very low. So on one hand, the price is high, but the monthly payment is low because rates are under 3% in many cases for good buyers. So it mitigates the price increase. But that said, prices are getting higher, and you can see natives, locals, beginning to get priced out of their own market, especially in places like coastal Oregon, right, where Californians are looking and saying, hey, it's time to leave here. We're stuck in our overpriced house with bad traffic and high taxes, and we have no electricity, and we're quarantining. It's just not fun.
Yeah, and we are seeing here as well, just looking in the past month, a lot of homes going up in value by $4,000 to $5,000 around Roseburg in just 1 month. That's almost unheard of.
Wow, that really is. Normally, house prices go up by 2 to 3% a year, not 2 to 3% in a month. But the coronavirus is causing all kinds of changes, and the problems in California. This now ability to work from home, because we've seen now that it's been working for the last 4 or 5 months. It's like, hey, why do I have to live in high-priced San Francisco or something? I can move to Portland or Roseburg or Eugene or wherever it is, Grants Pass.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing, I go out walking on Sundays seeing a lot of California plates, often accompanied by moving vans in the area. Real estate folks tell me their hottest sector of folks right now, of new customers, is people coming to the Umpqua Valley from Southern California, and they can afford a higher price point because what they get up here for $600,000 to $800,000 is a lot better than what they had in L.A.
Oh, my gosh, $600,000 in Roseburg is top of the hill, the fanciest house. In L.A., it's a fixer-upper on an eighth of an acre.
Dr. Elliot Eisenberg with us. Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast, after 1 at 541radio.com, 1248 at Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson Show coming up at 1 on tomorrow's program. Superintendent Jared Corden of the Roseburg School District. We'll talk about how the year is going so far for the district and what lies ahead, with a lot of uncertainties related to COVID-19 metrics and the numbers that are going to need to be maintained to get more kids to in-person instruction. All of Roseburg, of course, remote at this point. Dr. Elliot Eisenberg with us from Miami Beach this afternoon, looking down right over the ocean on a beautiful day down there. Not that I'm jealous or anything. Elliot, I wanted to stay with this housing market situation for a moment. Is there a point to where the prices push too high and then we're going to see them drop back?
This is the fear. I wouldn't say drop back, but they'll stop going up at some point. The economy is very strong for home buyers right now. Remember, people who've lost their jobs are generally entry-level people, people with lower skills, lower levels of education. They're not home buyers anyways. So this recession has completely, it's not only skipped housing, but turbocharged it, unlike the last one. So there's more to go, and you have these Californians who keep coming. The problem is, how will the locals manage this? Will they have to keep moving inland further east or somewhere to afford something? That's the more likely problem. But California had this problem of affordability, and then Californians move and bring it with them.
What about the commercial real estate market? More folks working remotely. If companies want to make this a long-term plan, maybe they don't need that big fancy office after all.
Yeah, there's certainly some concern there, and it's levels of concern, if you will. So most hotels are able to make ends meet with 30% occupancy. So they'll get by, and most of them will get by. Some will not. 10 or 20% go away. Restaurants and bars, those places, they're in much worse shape. Office space will probably return, but not in the short run. Multifam will recover quicker than office space, but the next 6 or 8 months, 12 months could be a stretch as people don't pay their rent in some cases. So some landlords are going to be stressed out and their values will be lower. So I expect to see A, fewer transactions at a slightly lower price. But in the multifam space, they recover. In the industrial space, they're totally fine. They're outstanding. Logistics, you know, warehouses, they're doing well. Manufacturing, also doing well. So it really depends what you're thinking about.
Do you think that these adjustments are also going to make a change to how many homes are designed, where it's not just turning the bedroom into an office, but it's actually building it to look like an office to begin with?
Oh, I absolutely agree with you on that front. I think people now builders are going to say, hey, this virus thing may happen again. Who knows? Let's think about it. Let's get rid of the great room, where if, you know, there's a mouse in the corner munching cheese, you hear 1,000 feet away in the kitchen. Let's have more rooms. It's odd. We're going to go back to the future here in a way, where we had houses with lots of little rooms 50, 60 years ago in the 60s, and now we're going to do it again. But I need an exercise studio and an office place and a place for Junior to do homework and me to do a Zoominar and whatever it is. So I bet housing undergoes some considerable new homes, considerable change.
Overall, with the stock market, with all this uncertainty, do you anticipate it remaining very volatile through at least the end of the calendar year, at least the election?
Yeah, almost all measures of stock market volatility are elevated right now. Let's put it that way, because of the uncertainty over all these things that we've talked about earlier. They're not going to go away. When the election is resolved, that will take one of them off the table, which is a good thing, no matter how it ends up as far as the market is concerned. But yes, there's another, I would say, 6 weeks of real volatility. That said, firms are learning to live with this coronavirus. They know it's not going to go away, and they're giving us better guidance. Not guidance that's better, but they're more able to know what their guidance is. They're offering guidance, and that's a good thing. Wall Street expects earnings to turn around next year. This is the one bad year for earnings, but, you know, people are learning to live with this. Restaurants, stores, everybody is managing, and will manage better as time goes on. That's the good news here.
After Donald Trump won the presidency 48 hours, 24 hours earlier, it was widely anticipated that he would not be the victor, that Hillary Clinton would. And just hours in, while votes were still being counted, there were dire predictions for the economy. There was some volatility in the short term in Wall Street. But then the first quarter of the next year just went through the roof. So when we look at the potential of either President Trump being elected or former Vice President Joe Biden winning, where do you think that will lead on either outcome in terms of the market early next year?
I suspect that if Trump wins re-election, the markets are happier. If Biden wins, the expectation is that taxes will go up. Corporate taxes certainly will go up. He's promised them up from 21 to 28. And that has to hurt the stock market. So as the stock market thinks that Biden will win, which they are to some extent, at least they were until Friday with the passing of Justice Ginsburg, you saw some companies beginning to perform subpar, if you will. But this could change the deck chairs here, so it's hard to know. But remember, Biden also will spend a lot of money. So there's compensation going on here. It's not just higher taxes. It's higher taxes and spending. Trump is certainly more favorable to business. There's no question. But businesses will manage if Biden wins. They'll do more green investing, and they'll onshore a little more. They'll do a little bit less maybe of CapEx. Firms will adjust. They have in the past. They have every time in the past. They will again in the future.
And Donald Trump went in and took a little different path than probably a lot of people thought he would when he was elected. It's certainly possible that Joe Biden might get in there and shift from things that he's seeing right now as well.
It's possible, but I think it's less likely. President Trump was much more of an unknown quantity, is the wrong word, but politically an unknown quantity. And he grew into the presidency, if you will. I think with Biden, we largely know what his track record has been over the last 35 years. You can call him many things, and everyone seems to like him, but no one would call him a rabble-rouser or a trailblazer.
Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, how do people connect with you?
Oh, go to my website, econ70.com, and sign up for my daily 70-word blog on economics. ECON, the number 7, the number 0.com.
All right, Dr. Elliot Eisenberg, thanks for being on this afternoon.
My pleasure, Kyle. Thank you. I look forward to next time.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.